Good morning, and welcome to Sunday Worship with the Memorial Church of Harvard University.
The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone.
This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes.
The Lord is God and has given us light. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Come, let us set out in the light of the Lord.
In our gospel lesson for today, Jesus tells us, I am the vine and you are the branches. God plants the seeds of grace, hope, joy, and love deep within us so that we might bear fruit and feed one another. Yet so often we resist staying connected to the true vine, thinking that we can flourish on our own. Let us confess our sins to the one whose mercy knows no end. May we feel God abiding deep within us as we pray. Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, whose face is hidden from us by our sin, and whose mercy we forget. Cleanse us from all offenses, and deliver us from proud thoughts and vain desires, that humbly we may draw near to thee, confessing our faults, confiding in thy grace, and finding in thee our refuge and our strength, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Friends, God has planted deep within you all that you need for a fruitful life. God is the source of every gift we need and every blessing we have. And as we know from creation, our roots are entwined, and through our connection we feed one another. Our sustenance, our lives, our flourishing depend on one another. May we not hoard what God has planted and is blossoming within us. May we use this fruit to feed, befriend, and fill one another. May we offer back to creation and to one another what God has given to us. Thanks be to God. Let us now join our voices in praise to God, singing the hymn, Alleluia, Alleluia, Hearts to Heaven, hymn number 171, found in your worship bulletin online. Good morning, everyone. We are so grateful to have you a part of the broadcast worship service of the Memorial Church of Harvard University. I am the Reverend Alana Sullivan, Associate Minister at MEM Church, and on behalf of our clergy and staff, I have the distinct pleasure of welcoming you to worship this morning. So wherever you are, whoever you love, We are most grateful for your presence today. And no matter where you are on your journey in life or in faith, you are most welcome here. Friends, there is so much happening in the world and in our lives today. So for the next hour, we invite you to bring all that you are, all that you are feeling to our shared worship this morning. Let's be together in the presence of God and lift up our deepest sorrows and our fiercest hopes. Our preacher for today is our very own Professor Stephanie Paulsell, interim PC minister in the Memorial Church, and the Susan Shellcross Swartz Professor of Practice of Christian Studies at Harvard Divinity School. She also is a faculty dean at Elliott House, a part of the college. Our service is also led by our ministry fellow, the Reverend Wes Kahn. Our lessons are read by two of our beloved student advisory board members. The first lesson is read by Maggie Beezer, class of 2020, and a first-year student at Harvard Medical School. The second lesson is read by Jeremel Della Rosa Lara, class of 2023. Edward Jones, Gund University organist and choir master, leads us in the hymns. And David Von Baron, our assistant organist, offers the prelude and postlude this morning. We continue to be so thankful for our friends at First Plymouth Church in Lincoln, Nebraska, who graciously share their organ with David each week so he can share these beautiful pieces with us. And today's choral offerings are taken from the Harvard University Choir's 2014 recording, Spring Bursts Today. How apropos for the day after May Day. Behind the scenes, Jeffrey Blackwell and Jesus Romo Lamas lovingly stitch together the pieces that we have recorded at home so we can worship together today. Next Sunday, our preacher will be the Reverend Wes Kahn. This will be the last time the Reverend Kahn will be preaching and sharing a piece of the good news with us as our ministry fellow. Stratham Community Church has called him to be their next pastor. And in case you are wondering, Stratham Community Church is exactly 1 hour north of Cambridge. Stephanie and I have calculated it. We know there are many who have been touched by Wes's big heart, dry humor, sage advice, keen eye, powerful preaching, and just general affability over the last 8 years. We will miss him dearly. And we also could not be more excited for him and Paul as they embark on this new adventure. Next Sunday, May 9th, also marks the end of our faith formation programs for the spring term. It will be the last time that the Church School and the Faith and Life Forum will meet for this academic year. We wanted to extend a special invitation to our wider community to join us for the Faith and Life Forum at 9:30 that day. This will be our communal opportunity to thank Professor Paulsell for faithfully leading and lovingly serving as our interim PC minister these past 2 years. What a blessing her ministry and leadership has been for our community. There are many things that we can say about Professor Paulsell and her imprint upon our communal and worship life. Her poetic writing, stirring preaching, generosity of spirit, uplifting the gifts of others, her kind thank you notes. I think a thread of her ministry has been, to borrow a phrase from Howard Thurmond, the unhurried attention she has paid to each of us. She has invited those around her to gently bud and then blossom. And for that, we are so grateful. If you'd like to join us, you can register at the Faith and Life Forum page on our website, www.memorialchurch.harvard.edu. Just click on the May 9th link and you will find a place to sign up. We hope you are able to join us. All are welcome. We know this is a season of change in our community during an already fluctuating time. Please be in touch. We want to hear from you. We want to stay connected. We want to know how you're doing. And we encourage you to visit our website to stay up to date with the latest happenings at the church. And if you would like us to hold you in prayer during this tender time, we have a prayer request tab on our homepage. and we invite you to leave your prayer requests there. I also wanted to extend a note of gratitude for all who participated in the creation of and faithfully read our daily newsletter this past year. Each day, we have read offerings from those a part of the Memorial Church and the wider Hervor community. So many hands have been involved in this labor of love. In particular, I wanted to extend a shout out to Jeffrey Blackwell, our interim communications lead, who has produced the newsletter each day. And many thanks to all who have contributed music, meditations, spiritual practices, pieces of art, and prayer. If you have not had a chance to read our newsletter, I highly recommend that you visit our website to read some of the senior talks offered by graduating students from each house at the college. This is the 9th year of this beloved tradition. These are such thoughtful and moving pieces from our students before they say goodbye and set out on their next adventure. At 4 p.m. today, we also invite you to join us for the Harvard University's Choir Spring Project, a virtual recorded performance of Johann Sebastian Bach's Magnificat in D. Members of the Harvard University Choir have recorded their parts from home in collaboration with the Harvard Baroque Chamber Orchestra. The video of this performance will premiere on YouTube this afternoon at 4 p.m. You can easily link to the performance from our website. We are so grateful for the creativity and resiliency of our choir and orchestra, who make such beautiful music during this challenging time. In so many ways, we need the stirrings of the spirit and the movements of the heart that only music can create, now more so than ever. So thank you. Friends, we have reached that point in the service where we extend a sign of Christ's peace to one another. In Scripture, Christ tells us, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid." Christ's promised peace surpasses all of our understanding. And yet perhaps it is this leap of faith that we exactly need at this time. Emboldened by the Holy Spirit, let us share this gift, the peace of Christ, with one another and everyone we meet today. May the peace of Christ be with you always. In our gospel lesson for today, Jesus invites us to imagine ourselves as deeply attached, close, and loyal to him, as the branches are on the vine. In other words, we are to bear fruit with a spirit of love by helping one another, reaching out to one another, and encouraging one another in our daily faith pilgrimage. As it is written in the Wisdom Book of Ecclesiastes, two are better than one, because if they fall, they will lift up one another. But for the one who is alone and falls, there is not another to lift up that person. So let our offering lift up one another in God's love that abides in times of sadness and loss and grief. Each week, our offering goes to support the work of the Grants Committee. On behalf of the congregation, the committee selects local organizations doing the critical and transformational work of serving those on the margins of our community and bringing them to the center of our circle and care. You can support the Grants Committee by visiting the donation page on our website. Friends, let our offering lift up one another in God's love that abides in times of hopelessness, brokenness, and failure. Let our offerings be a thanksgiving of God's love that abides within us. Let us accept God's invitation to be ever present in times of despair and in times of joy. Now let us offer ourselves in gratitude and with generosity as fruits representing the abiding goodness of God.
A reading from the first letter of John, chapter 4, beginning at the 7th verse. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. Here ends the lesson.
A reading from the Gospel according to John, chapter 15, beginning at the first verse. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who abide in me, and I in them, bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you. Ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. Here ends the lesson.
Let us pray. God, you are the vine grower, creating us to be entangled in your true vine, Jesus the Christ. You have made us to trellis with your beloved Son. For when we are on our own, we become feeble and bear no fruit. Show us, great cultivator, where we need pruning. And give us the nourishment of your Holy Spirit, so that we may truly abide in you. For when we stay with you, your perfect love casts out our fears. Christ, our true vine, send forth your shoots to hold us and guide us with your matchless love. Make this love known to us again and again. Come to our aid, Lord. The pandemic rages around the world. We tremble not knowing when it will end. We are your branches, Christ, and we are not restored to health until all of us are healed. Deepen our care for our neighbors who are near and far, so that we would demand global access to the life-saving vaccine. Be especially among the people of India as they suffer from severe COVID infection rates. Let your mercy be known. Quickly make an end to this pandemic. God of resurrection, your Son came into the world to love us wildly, and in turn, we have come to know love itself. Remove from us those things that impede our love for you, our neighbors, and ourselves. Take from us the systemic racism that pulls on the threads of hope. Give us the courage to move forward with accountability and justice. Be with leaders and lawmakers, guiding them to legislate in ways that resemble your love. And descend on all of our hearts, entangling them with yours. Make us to seek healing of our communities together. Merciful God, by your grace, you give us opportunities to learn, growing in knowledge and wisdom. As classes at Harvard come to an end, color our achievements with gratitude for family, friends, teachers, mentors, and all who helped us on our way. Transform our discoveries and experiences into a future of pursuing truth, justice, and peace. Take the coursework we have done and those assignments we have left undone and shape them into wonder. Send, O God, your strength and patience to accompany students as they begin their final exams and papers. Faithful God, you search us out and find us when we are in danger, and you walk with us through every valley, no matter the size of the shadows. Be close to those who receive unwanted diagnoses. Comfort and care for all who pray for healing. Bless the dying, soothe the suffering, and give rest to the grieving. Christ of the cross, reveal the power of your love for us and the promises of life amidst the scars of death. Giver of life, you have called us out to be your church in the world. Renew us and revive us to be rooted firmly in your love. Make this church, the Memorial Church, a place of good pasture and still waters in life, so that doubters, believers, and all those in between may find refreshment and restoration for their souls. Strengthen this congregation as we begin to offer our gratitude and goodbyes to the clergy and staff who are leaving. God, keeper and tender of the vines, your hands bear the marks of your love for us. Continue to hold us in the palm of your hand. Infuse us with the breath of your Spirit, and nourish us with your grace. When we falter and fumble in fear, save us from withering, and let your words abide in us, those same words written in Scripture and on our hearts, those tender words you have gifted us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Would you pray with me? Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead us. Let them lead us to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Then we will go to your altar, O God, our exceeding joy. And we will praise you with the harp. O God, our God. Amen. The testimony of the passage from the first letter of John that Maggie Beeser read for us this morning, that God is love, and that we are closest to God when we love one another, brought back to me the voice of our former minister, Professor Jonathan L. Walton. As many of you will remember, Jonathan loved to draw upon the life and work of Dr. Benjamin Elijah Mays, former president of Jonathan's alma mater, Morehouse College, and one of the intellectual architects of the civil rights movement. Dr. Mays once wrote words that Jonathan frequently invoked: the love of God and the love of humanity are one love. Jonathan signed all of his letters and emails to us with those words, one love, to remind us of this abiding and challenging truth. Also within this passage are the words that Jonathan often used to invite us into the practice of passing the peace. How can we say we love God, whom we've never ever seen, Jonathan used to ask, when we don't love the one who walks beside us? And with that question echoing in the space around us and between us,
He would invite us to cross into that space with our arms outstretched, to reach out to one another, to reach out for one another, to catch a glimpse in gestures of love and peace, the face of that unseen God. What we practice during the passing of the peace is the heart of this passage and the heart of Christian life. No one has ever seen God, the author of 1 John writes, but if we love one another, God lives in us. How do we know this? We know, the author says, through the experience of loving. Amor ipse notitia est. Love itself is knowledge. Gregory the Great coined this phrase in the 6th century to describe how we come to know an invisible God. John's letter says the same. If we love, John says, we already know God, because God is love. Love braids us into the life of God. If we abide in love, John says, we abide in God and God abides in us. Over and across, up and around, love intertwines our lives into life itself. If loving is a form of knowing, and if love can lead us to know God, then there is no limit to what we can know through love. We can know ourselves and others through love as well. We can know the world through love. The knowledge born of love is relational, shaped not only by our experience, but by the experience of others. And as we've heard proclaimed from this virtual pulpit by Terry Tempest Williams and Reverend Mariama White Hammond over the last 2 weeks, that knowledge is shaped by the experience of the earth itself and all the life it supports, from the most microscopic to the most immense. Loving the world God created and called good, we learn that all our lives and destinies, human and non-human, are intertwined. 1 John insists that love is not only a way of knowing, it is also a way of being. This short letter captures the heart of Christian theology in one short verse. Beloved, John writes, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. But what does it really mean to love one another? To offer one another our tenderest feelings? Sometimes. But those of you who read Martin Luther King Jr.'s Where Are We Going, Chaos or Community last year in our pilgrimage reading group will remember that Dr. King believed love was much more than that. He argued in that book that love was an absolute necessity for human survival. King knew that some would dismiss love as too weak a response to unchecked power, so he made himself clear. When I speak of love, King wrote in the year before he was assassinated, I am speaking of that force which all the great religions have seen as the supreme unifying principle of life. For King, love was a force, and without it, he believed, the juggernaut of racism, poverty, and war would plow our civilization under. Dorothy Day, whose autobiography, The Long Loneliness, we read this year in our Practicing Hope reading group, had a similarly unsentimental view of love. Where there is no love, she once said, put love. And then you will find love there. For Day, love is not a matter of waiting for good feelings to fill us up and soften our edges. Love is something active, something we have to take responsibility for. One of her favorite passages from literature was a sentence from Dostoevsky's novel, The Brothers Karamazov. Love, in practice, is a harsh and dreadful thing compared to love in dreams. That's what Day and King were both talking about. Love in practice, the force to which we must risk harnessing ourselves, a practice that we have to learn. In the Song of Songs, that great poem of love, One lover says to the other, "Remember when I woke you up under that apple tree? It was the apple tree under which your mother labored to bring you into the world. I love the ground your mother lay on," the lover seems to say. "I love your humanity. I love that you were born from a woman." The lover reverences all that we can share that makes us human, even the labor by which we came into the world. When she sees her lover, she sees more than his body, more than his possessions, more than his job, more than his education, more than his politics. She sees all the way back to his birth, all the way back to his laboring mother, all the way back to the tree under which his mother pushed until he entered the world. What would it take to see everyone as someone's child, whose origins are precious, whose dignity is worthy of reverence, who is owed care and protection and respect? It would take practice, love in practice. It would also take a greater consciousness of how our lives, our destinies, and our survival are intertwined. Hopefully, during this time when we have had to rely on each other, and especially on essential workers, we have grown in our understanding of our interdependence. But that consciousness could easily slip away as the pandemic eases. The philosopher Simone Weil once wrote that if she were what she ought to be, she would make a vow of love inwardly that was renewed each second of each day, each time eternal, and each time wholly complete and new. Now that's a tall order, but I think she's onto something with the idea of making a vow. The vows we make in weddings, in religious life, they're meant to help us stay conscious of what we want our lives to mean, even in times of stress or anger or fear or doubt. Vows help us stay turned toward love, no matter how we are feeling. We may not be able to make a vow every second of every day, the way Simone Weil in her usual radical way imagines, but what would it be like to cultivate a practice of remembering at moments throughout the day that our lives are intertwined with everyone else's in ways, as Dr. King once said, beyond our knowing? What would it look like for the officer sliding behind the wheel of the squad car, the teacher rising to her feet before a classroom of children, the doctor entering the hospital room, the minister before she steps into the pulpit, the politician before the vote on the floor, to renew a vow of love, a vow to see and cherish the dignity of each person we'll encounter? What kind of difference might that make? In the passage Jeremel de la Rosa Lara read for us from the Gospel of John today, Jesus is speaking with his disciples for the last time before his arrest. He is urging them to keep their lives intertwined with his. "Abide in me," he says, "as I abide in you." In and out, over and across, he is braiding their lives together in the last hours he has with them. "I am the vine, and God is the vine grower, and you are the branches," he says. It is the intertwining of the vine and the branches that bears fruit, and it is the vine grower who tends to them so that they can make more. It is the intertwining of vine and branches that is generative, the braiding of our lives together that makes us capable of more than we could have imagined, more reverence for each other's humanity, more love, more care. Amen.
Let us sing together our closing hymn, All Who Love and Serve Your City, hymn number 322, found at the end of your online worship bulletin.
And now may the love of God unite us, the hope of Jesus Christ transform us. May the movement of the Holy Spirit enliven our senses and lead us into life. Amen.
This has been Sunday Worship with the Memorial Church of Harvard University. Please join us again next week at 11 a.m. on WHRB 95.3 FM.